welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. Hopefully everyone had a great Thanksgiving break. I know Sean and I did. We were recapping our weekends over lunch a little while ago. But as we always begin, we're going to begin in prayer. So Sean and I gather here today, and we ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that our thoughts be your thoughts. May our words be your words, and may our deeds be your deeds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sean McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Sean McCarthy, founder of Old School Men of Faith. This is a special program for me tonight because this is someone I've known for really the better part of my entire life. Childhood friend, mentor to me. One of the reasons I think my soul has caught fire for the Lord is because of him and his influence over my life. And I tell him every chance I get, what a profound impact he's had on me and my family. So Old School Men of Faith, Sean, as we talk about male ministry and evangelization, you know, I think it was probably, we're probably about a year and a half into this formation of the group, would you say?
Yeah, we started in January of 19, right?
Yeah, so, and, you know,
August of 19.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you don't do something like that overnight. So talk about the discernment process with that and how long it was before you had the strength and conviction to kind of put pen to paper and kind of get it up
sure.
and running.
Yeah, Joe, so... you know, as you know, because you know you were one of the, you know, the founding guys of Old School, right? But I was kind of involved in a prayer group, a men's Bible study with Father Chris Walsh up
sure.
at St. Raymond's Parish, right? And it was very small. There was maybe four or five guys every Sunday night, and you know, Father had a lot of commitments, and just. The group fell apart, right? So we were hoping to get back together. We kind of took a break at Christmas hoping to get back together after the new year of 2019, and it just never happened.
Sure.
The Father had an assignment at Bishop McDevitt High School, as you know, and it just didn't work. So, you know, I felt a void. Right, I really felt a void of not having that fellowship, and then I also was kind of looking at the world,
sure,
right, and seeing
the
brokenness, right, and seeing the lack of leadership, the lack of men being willing to stand in the gap, and actually, I think I was going down and doing a lot of. Prayerful outreach out in front of Planned Parenthood's doing some of that. And I was noticing not a whole lot of men down there, right? Mostly women's, you know, and God bless women's faithfulness. Many of us have been led to the Lord through prayer for women,
Amen.
Right? But at the same token as men, who's stepping up? Who's stepping into the gap, right? And so I was praying for a while, Joe, and then one day I really felt like the Lord lay on my heart and say, well, Sean, you need to start something. You know, what are you going to do about this? Because I was kind of having this conversation with the Lord, like, right, about, man, look what's going on in
sure.
this world. It's, you know, Lord, how can you let this happen? And he said, well, Sean, I got you here. What are you doing about it?
Amen.
You know, what are you going to do about it? And I prayed about it, told Terry that I really was going to reach out to a few guys that I thought would be really – that God was kind of showing me to reach out to, guys that could be anchors, right? And, of course, you were one of the first calls I made, and a few other guys. And I think, what did we start with, 6-7 guys the first time we met and got together?
Shout out to Chris McCarthy.
Chris.
And let's talk about the name.
So. Yeah, so I think it was you and me. It was my brother Chris, who, you know, Chris, small business owner, right, owns a few restaurants, has six, seven kids, and he's crazy, right, with little ones. But he made the commitment. My brother Dan McCarthy, again, five kids, real busy in his life, but really made the commitment. My brother Brian, and Bri has, you know, five kids as well, successful business owner, CEO, right? So,
and kudos to Chris for actually giving us the platform to start it.
Right. So the big issue was, you know, or the big question was, hey, we want to do this, but we don't know where to go, right?
Sure.
We didn't know if we were going to try to start it in somebody's home or what.
God knows a lot of us have outstayed our welcomes in a lot of places.
Exactly, right? So, you know, Chris said, hey, my restaurants don't open until about 11 o'clock. If we get in early, you guys are early risers? And we said, yeah. So we started meeting 7:30 in the morning every Saturday morning there. And thank God for Chris, right? And Amen. The name of Chris' restaurant is Old School Burgers, right?
Which if you haven't been, you got to get to. There's two locations, one in Ambler, one in Willow Grove. Sandwich is second to none.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Chris opened his business up to us, and we started meeting. I think, I think Sean Thompson was one of the first guys with us, and Steve Giuseppe maybe, right? Yep. There's about seven of us. And we just started really winging it, right? We knew that we needed to become men of the Word of God. We knew we needed to have fellowship with each other and to encourage each other, and that's kind of how we started it, right?
But, you know, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, you're always saying iron sharpens iron.
Mm.
You know, you and Danny say that all the time, and you talk about the women who have influenced us, and you know, we both have touched on this a lot, how strong the female, you know, human being is, right? Yeah. Way stronger than us.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I think there's something about males. You know, a couple things. Number one, our inability to show vulnerability, right? The pride, mm-hmm. you know, the sinful pride that we have. Like, who are we going to bow to? You know, we can handle all this stuff that comes on our plate within our families and our jobs. So the lack of humility. And then really the need, I know for me, the life-changing experience of being involved in this group, and I don't say that lightly, but, you know, held to a standard of the group, you know, is keeping my moral compass high.
Accountability.
And I'm accountable. And I think with males, I think women are, because they're the better species, they're they're more capable of staying the straight and narrow on their own.
Yeah.
Not to say that women's groups don't have a profound impact, because they do, but there's something about men, flawed men, prideful men, gathering in the Lord's name,
amen,
for an hour to an hour and a half a week, sharing fellowship and really sharing faith.
Yeah.
And I think you and I was blessed that, you know, you reached out to me, and I think both of us take pride in connecting people, you know, and what started out 18 months ago as a group of seven or eight lost, flawed men, you know, has really blossomed. And I mean, there's probably 35 to 40 guys.
Yeah. I think on our, you know, we have a little app that we communicate with, and we're probably 35 strong on that app at least. And I would say our average meetings are close to 25 guys, right?
Yeah.
So,
I like the informality of it. You know, there's not like, and again, taking nothing away from other men's groups, you know, That Man Is You or some of those, I don't want to call them cookie cutter because that would be diminishing their purpose. But I think the open-endedness of our group,
yeah,
it's non-threatening. Some guys show up for a week, don't show up for two, but then are back for three, and life happens. We're all at different points in our journey.
Yep.
Some of us are young fathers. Some of us are young grandfathers, you know, and everything in between.
Yeah, I think with us, right, the beauty is, to your point, Joe, if you have more of a cookie cutter approach, and again, nothing wrong with that, right? But if you do have that kind of approach, if you miss a week or two, you're really behind,
100%.
Right? That's really not our approach, right? So if you miss a week or two with us, we're going to a new topic anyway the following week, and really, it's really very much led by the Holy Spirit anyway, right? And so. We sometimes start with a topic and we go in another direction.
No doubt.
I would say that that's kind of the nice thing about our group is that, you know, you don't feel like you're getting behind if you can't make it for one reason or another, right?
Yeah. And I would encourage any listeners out there, particularly male listeners, if you – I was up in, you know, talking to my brother-in-law over Thanksgiving, and, you know, just he lives in upstate New York, and just encouraging him, hey, man, you know – because his soul is stirring,
yep.
You know, and he's wrestling, you know, and which is a good thing. And I said, hey, man, get two or three guys, you know, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there's love, right?
Yeah,
and I think if you can just start that, maybe it grows, maybe it doesn't. But the strength and, you know, accountability and camaraderie and fellowship with males, I think can have a profound impact. So I'm praying for Mark up in New York to you know, maybe start something, you know, up there and kind of be a difference maker for,
yeah,
for the men in his life. Yeah, Sean.
Well, Joe, one thing I think is interesting, cause we talked a little bit about, you know, the influence that a lot of holy women and just good women have had in our life, right? And that it seems that it's always the woman that's kind of praying for the guy to get his
right.
act together,
get right.
But I think it's interesting because I think God has ordained men to be leaders in their homes, right? And leaders in society in a way. But that doesn't diminish the role of the wife, right? And it's kind of the role of the woman, and it's kind of her praying for us to take our leader, to take our rightful place, right?
No doubt.
And, you know, they're kind of saying, hey, I need you to step up and be the man that you said you were going to be when we got married, you know, when we made those vows, right? So,
because God knows we are so weak, we would shy away from that responsibility every chance we got.
Yeah, right? Between that and between just trying to understand what it means to be a leader. You had a great show last week about leadership, right? But what does it mean to be a leader in your home? What does it mean to be a leader in business, in the church, in the community, with your wife? You know, do you lead her in prayer at night? Things like that, right? And so I think we have all these, as men, we have all these different ideas about what it means to be a leader and what it means to be tough and what to be, you know, how we express love is very different than how oftentimes women express love because they love and they just love.
Absolutely.
Men are guarded, right? We're guarded with how we express love.
No doubt.
So we're, you know, the joke of, you know, women are more complicated than men. I'm not so sure about that. We got a lot of layers.
No doubt.
Yep.
You know, one of the things you said, it's probably about a month and a half ago, but like the importance of seeing, you know, as a father of males, you know, and you know, the beauty of your fatherhood, it's, you know, you got beautiful daughters, you got beautiful sons, you got a beautiful wife, and the job description is different for all of them, right?
Yeah,
you know, you want to model manhood for your sons, like genuine, authentic manhood. And you said something probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago, how the importance of your sons seeing you kneel in prayer, you know, and showing your brokenness to God and knowing that, like, hey, I can't do this on my own.
Amen.
I can't be a father on my own. I can't be, you know, a husband on my own. I'll fail. I'll cower. I'll run at every turn I can, you know, but the importance of modeling that behavior, like for your own sons and then for your daughter, right? It's as important. One of my favorite quotes of all time, the great receiver for the Seahawks, Steve Largent, he was giving a talk one time. He said, the greatest gift I can give my children is to love their mother.
Amen.
You know, like I have a beautiful 16-year-old daughter, Kira, and, you know, I pray that I'm modeling what a good husband looks like,
right,
and a faithful partner looks like, you know, so there's, the dynamic is different for both. But the commonality with the group is we're all searching to be maxed out in all of our roles as
right.
husbands, to our wives and as fathers to our sons and as fathers equally important to our daughters.
Right. Yeah. You know? Amen. Good stuff. Well, I have six children, right? So I have three boys and three girls. And it's funny because when we first got married, I felt like life happened, right? And we were reacting a
sure.
lot more. And it wasn't until, I was a little older and really had committed myself to the Lord where I think I was more purposeful, right, in my role and vocation
sure.
as a father, as opposed to just, hey, I'm providing, I'm hustling, I'm doing all the things I need to do, but really taking a step back and trying to be purposeful into their lives and speak into their lives. One thing that I think's really important is, is to show love as a father, right? A lot of us in our generation, your fathers didn't necessarily say, I love you. Your fathers didn't necessarily. Now, I was blessed. I had a father that did do that. But a lot of my buddies didn't, I have a buddy that we both know. We grew up in the same neighborhood, kind of that scrappy neighborhood, right, that we grew up in. And, I had a buddy that I was at his 50th birthday party, and he turned to me and said, you know what? My dad's never told me he loved me in my life. So there's a lot of men that have never been told by their fathers that they love them. Therefore, they don't maybe necessarily know how to express
it. We're all products of our experiences, right?
So, one thing I do think is important, your daughters need to know that they're the apple of your eye, that you love them, that you'll protect them. But your sons need to know that you love them, that you're for them, that you believe in them. And
absolutely.
I think that's really important, that and I think everything kind of starts from there.
And I don't know, you talk about the landscape in the last couple of years, but part of my conviction as a father, too, is, the challenges, when you have, as the family dynamic has changed, I'm not saying fathers have been squeezed out, but there's been a de-emphasis on fatherhood,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then some of the trials that come with, when there is an absence of a father, or a father that's not really modeling authentic masculinity the way that God intended it to be modeled,
yeah.
So you have two components. You have a fatherless scenario where there's nothing being modeled, and then when that happens, what happens? You're getting it from TV, radio,
yep.
Advertisement. What manhood looks like, and the challenge that, one of my things I kind of get on a soapbox about is like, we were blessed to be raised by the Village.
Right.
So when I was down at, McCarthy's house and I did something inappropriate, the old man wouldn't be afraid to tap me on the, give me a left tap.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
And that was the greatest compliment you could give my father is to act in his place.
Right.
But nowadays we're so sterile, that we're so vigilant, hyper vigilant about who's correcting our children.
Absolutely.
And
sensitive, right?
Crazy sensitive. And then as a parent, that's pressure because, 20 years ago, a coach could, maybe show some tough love, or a teacher could show some tough love, and a friend's father. Nowadays, it's like I feel a little bit of pressure, like, oh my gosh, if he's not getting it from me, he's not getting it.
Right.
And that's sad. I say that I think that's a tragedy.
There's even a bigger responsibility, right?
100%.
Now than maybe it was.
No doubt.
Because you had a lot more different people speaking into your kids, speaking into our lives.
No doubt. Yeah. And even now, I look at my own sons and they, they're 10 times the person I am or was. But, I look at some of the mixed messaging that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a father that, for any problems or weaknesses I have, I am...
You're there. You're present.
I try and be present. I make 1,000 mistakes with them, but it's real. Mm-hmm. That role for me is as important as being a husband. And I see how they're inundated with these mixed messages. And my daughter, how do you define beauty and all those things?
Right.
But, enough about that. But it is a lot of pressure. And I know my tank gets fueled up, on Saturday mornings when that... And we've... Tommy Moore said it, Steve Hudak has said it, a lot of guys in our group, like, we're getting as much out of the miracle that takes place on Sunday can never be substituted,
right?
You know, when you go to Mass. But holy mackerel, like the juice that we get and the fuel that we get at these meetings, which, you know, for an hour and a half on a Saturday morning, you know, Tommy Moore said it a bunch. Hey, I know I'm going to have a crappy Tuesday or Wednesday, and I start to look forward to my Saturday.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I did want to touch on, Sean, is, and, you know, every stage has its attraction, right? So, you know, you had that intimate, like, you know, we were at Old School Burger, Willow Grove, and I want to come back to Santo for a second, because that's one of the most profound things I've seen in my adult life.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing that a lot of times happens, you know, when you form a group or you know, a mission, you know, you lose the intimacy as the group expands. And really, like, we haven't, you know, as we've kind of quadrupled in size, you know, and we're 4 to 5 times bigger than we were 18 months ago, it still has an intimacy there. And certainly from your leadership, that's a reflection of that. It's a reflection of the Holy Spirit working through you. But it's really, it's just so, every week is so different. And every week people are kind of disclosing, you know, and it's not a self-help support group,
no,
but it's more,
right,
it's truly faith-based, but it's the level of intimacy. We've lost nothing as we've expanded, which,
right,
is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, you know, I think one of the things is, you know, we tried to stay really focused on the scripture, on the word of God, right? So it's interesting. Before I was coming here today, I said, hey, let me go get up to Mass and probably let me go to confession too, just to make sure that, you know, I wanted to have a pure heart coming into
yep,
this, and, you know, kind of like David says, hey, search me if there's anything that's not of you, figure it out, right, Lord, move it away from me, search me, Lord. And that's, so I went to confession today, and the priest says to me, a beautiful priest up at the shrine at Chestover, and he says two things to me. He says, stay close to the word of God. It's God's word. It's God's manual. It's direction for practical everyday things. It says direction. But also stay close to his presence, because that is the source of your strength, right? And he says that's through prayer. That can be through prayer, his presence, right? It could be going to adoration, right? We're blessed as Catholics that we have adoration. But make time for those two things, for prayer and for that time alone with God, you know, that prayer time with God, and then also for the Word of God. And I think we've kind of incorporated that into our group where, you know, we start with the Scripture. We kind of chew it around. And then before you know it, what happens? That Scripture starts really becoming effective and real in our lives. And now we're talking about what's going on in our lives, right? And how we can apply
of it, yeah,
right? How we can apply the Word of God to our life, and also, you know, that that brotherhood starts coming in too. And, you know, Mikey Moore says something, Mr. Moore says something, JW, you know, Steve Hudak, right? Sean Tom, and we all kind of, and it's just this, it's an amazing thing.
Really is.
It really is amazing that we start with the Word of God, and we're true to that Word, but then it kind of, my mom used to say something to us when we were young. She said, the Scripture says that his Word goes out and does the work it was intended to do, right? So we start with the Word, and then isn't that exactly what happens? It's like wildfire,
it
right,
is.
Joe? It just goes out and does the work it's intended to
That's
do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, Sean, two proud Catholics, right, and flawed but proud, you know, and we talk a lot about the uniqueness of Catholicism, right? You know, you've heard me reference a lot of Clarence Thomas. And folks, if you haven't had a chance to, he did a commencement speech at Christendom College probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I think it was titled Unapologetically Catholic. But the Supreme Court Justice, yeah, really powerful. And I love that, unapologetically Catholic, you know, in a time and place where sometimes you know, you're labeled, you know, almost freakishly if you identify with any type of organized religion, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, I love that. There's almost a defiance in that, you know, unapologetically mm-hmm. Catholic. And then Matthew Kelly, you know, Coach Morse, you know, mentor, he always talks about the brilliance of Catholicism.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things that are unique to our faith, and you touched on a couple of them already. You know, and not knowing, obviously I've been a cradle Catholic, so this is really, I do try as I've gotten older and secure with our faith, you know, just kind of delve into some different denominations, mm-hmm. you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, just to kind of say, okay, what's their foundation? What are the similarities? What are the differences? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and, but there's, in my humble opinion, everyone in a faith-based group, you know, performs worship, right? Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time it's either from Saturday evening through Sunday at some point, and it's weekly, you know, but, you know, with our faith, there are so many avenues to express and to receive God's grace. You know, mm-hmm. you talked about a couple of them. The miracle that takes place in the Mass, whether it's a Sunday or a weekday.
Sacramental.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, and Brian McCarthy, I don't know if he's listening, but, you know, he totally shifted my paradigm like 7 or 8 weeks ago when he said, you know, when I was kind of complaining about the lack of the message on a Sunday and, mm-hmm. you know, and he kind of called, you know, put my feet to the fire. And he's like, yo, dude, he's like, the message, if you get one, that's great, you know, but that's not why you're there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's to participate in the greatest sacrifice of all time mm-hmm. and watching the miracle that takes place with the bread and the wine being turned into the body and blood of Christ. And when he said that, I pouted for about 30 seconds because I was like, damn. And then, but then that has stuck with me. And every Mass since I've been there, you know, I've kind of reflected on that.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about, I know your adoration is very big for you, but you know, you have the Novena, you mm-hmm. know, Kurt Warner's prayer and you have, you know, the Rosary, you know, mm-hmm. and then you have a bunch of intercessions with saints and we celebrate and we catch a lot of flack for, you know, people think we worship,
right.
You know, human beings. We don't, but they're there to mentor us and to kind of increase and oftentimes enhance our devotion to
the Lord.
To Christ.
Sure.
But you have adoration, you have confession, you have Novena, you have Stations of the Cross. Talk about some of those things, and I know, you know, let the listeners know, you know, adoration, like what are some of the things sure. you're getting when you go there?
Sure. Well, you know, you're right, Joe. You know, it's easy to kind of look at some of the frustrations that we see in the church, right? And you know, but when you take a step back, as Mr. Moore says, and I guess Matthew Kelly actually says it, Mr. Moore repeats it to us, is that the brilliance in the church. And it really is true, and there's just so many different ways to worship the Lord, right? First of all, we're a sacramental church, right? And I believe, if I remember, what we were taught at St. John of the Cross by the nuns is a sacrament's an outward sign of an inward experience, right? So something's happening. Something's happening. You're seeing the sign outside, the bread and the wine, but something's happening internally to transform that into the body and blood of Christ. In confession, it's a priest. You see a priest, but he's supposed to be sitting there in the place of Christ to forgive our sins, right? So it's an outward sign of something that's happening inward, right? Marriage, you see the husband and the wife, but really, what you miss often, I thought Father Dermot Roche did a great job at Shawn Michaels'
Amazing.
Wedding, right? To kind of say, hey, what we're maybe not seeing here is Christ is present here, right? It's not just the couple that you see on the altar. So I think in our faith, we have these beautiful things called sacraments that are really amazing. And we, at Old School Men of Faith, we celebrate that. We talk about it a lot. And we have a few theologians in the group. You mentioned Brian, and Brian will set you straight if you're a little crooked.
Yeah.
But, and that's his great gift to our group, I think. And, But then, you know, and then we have our devotions, right? We have the Divine Mercy. We have the Rosary. Mm. We have Stations of the Cross, you know. And how, you know, I was just telling you, Joe, you know, how, and we just did it because we did it, right?
Sure.
We decided one Saturday morning, because we're a pretty flexible group, right? We decided, hey, guys, instead of our normal format, let's all do the Stations of the Cross together as men. And here we are walking the Stations of the Cross, singing between each station.
Sure.
And, but here, the priest at the shrine, that's where we meet at the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, and the priest are sitting there, come up to me afterwards and said, that was one of the most beautiful things we ever saw. 20 guys walking and praying and singing the Stations of the Cross. Right?
That's awesome.
And we didn't know we didn't even know anyone was watching, right?
Sure.
But the beauty of walking the cross, you know, the way of the cross.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in another minute with Old School Men of Faith founder Sean McCarthy.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Folks, welcome back to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm here with Sean McCarthy, founder and president of Old School Men of Faith Ministry. I would call it a ministry group, Sean. I mean, I know we're still in the grand scheme of those types of organizations. I mean, in 18 months, I mean, as the group is, the thing I love about what you do is, and this, you know, is kind of goes against the grain of the cookie cutter mentality. We continue to morph and like any living organism, like we continue to evolve. But I do want to come back to one of the, just God's, you know, God's ability to bring people into our lives. So there was a situation, we're probably like 3 months in, the group's probably about 12, 14 people. And, you know, talk about the Saturday morning we had Brother Santo in there. Yes. Coming into the group. That was, yeah, that was hilarious.
Really, really funny. You know, so we're meeting in a restaurant that doesn't open for hours. It's 7:30 in the morning. We're starting our prayer group. We're starting our meeting, our Bible study. And, of course, I forgot to lock the door on the way in. So we usually lock the door behind us. But here somebody pops in thinking that we were open. And, of course, you know, we got a lot of alphas in this group. And, you know, I pop up and probably have a few other guys pop up behind me and say, "Hey, can I help you with something, buddy?" And he says, "Man, I'm just here to use the bathroom." So we said, "Okay." So he uses the bathroom, and then I think it was Sean Thompson said, "Hey, there's some food up there if you want, you know, you can have some food." And he says, "Okay." And he takes some donut or whatever we had up there. He said, "But if you eat it, you got to stay, right?" And he turns around and he says, "Well, what are you guys doing here?" And we said, "We're a Bible study." And he said, "Oh, praise the Lord. I'm a Christian too." And he sat down and started sharing his story with us, right, Joe?
And what a story it was.
What a story. Amazing story. A guy was away from the Lord for years. Had
addictions.
Had terrible addictions, drug and alcohol. Just living for self. But then that self, even, you know,
imploded.
As we know, it implodes. It always does. And he was really, really lost, right? And had found the Lord, I think, probably fairly newer,
yep,
a newer believer, and then started coming to our group. And, gosh, was there every Saturday, right? Was real faithful there every Saturday, even through COVID and everything, and when we were Zooming for a while. Real blessing to the group. And, you know, we probably should reach back out.
Yeah,
to,
you know what?
Yeah,
I think it's some, you know, as the trek up to Doylestown, which is, yep, a different, you know, it's certainly a bigger venue, but, you know, for some people, it's not as easy to get,
exactly,
to. But he brought so much to the table and perspective. You know, he was a non-Catholic and
yep,
an otherwise strongly Catholic group.
Joe, I think really important too, and this for your listeners, is that, you know, Santo was probably well into his 60s,
absolutely,
probably late 60s. We have another guy, just tremendous member of the group, Coach Moore, who coached a lot of us. And, you know, I grew up in his house practically. We're best friends with his sons. And, but, you know, Coach is well into his 70s, maybe just turned 80 even,
yeah,
you know, 79, 80. And then we have guys that come that just got out of college, and
yep,
actually even younger than that, right? My brother Danny brings his,
yeah,
son DJ, who really always will add a little bit when he comes, you know. Your boys come. So, I mean, we probably,
yeah,
my
is.
Boys come. We probably go from 16 to 80, you,
yeah,
know, which is a little different.
I always give the young guys mad props because we, you know, for us, we've probably been up since 5:36.
Exactly.
For some of those young, especially the college guys, or the guys,
yeah,
just out of college.
Yep. It's an act of love to get them out. Out at 7:30, so
no doubt,
yeah.
Sean, I want to talk about, you know, church, the church right now. You know, I've asked a couple guests before, and you know, I think you've had the pendulum swing. We've always been a united church, you know, in the history of, you know, our great Catholic faith. But there's been pendulum swings, you know, from one view, you know, maybe more tolerant liberal to another more strict conservative, and it just seems that, you know, in the last 2 to 3 years, you know, it seems, at least for me in my Catholic faith journey, more is dividing us than uniting us, you know, and,
yep,
and, you know, it's a concern, you know, or, you know, a number of things, you know, every, you know, we're the original Christian denomination, right?
Sure.
The Catholic Christian,
right?
The Catholic Christian faith. Is it, do you think there's a schism coming, or do you think we just kind of, and it's hard for me to reference because this is the only vantage point I have.
Exactly.
You know,
right,
from 68 to 2020. Like, I wasn't here in 1400s, you know, post-Crusades, or I wasn't here in the,
exactly,
in the 30s,
yep,
and 40s. So, you know, I just get nervous It's God's will. Whatever's going to happen, as your mom always says, God didn't fall off the throne all of a sudden. So, you know, I'm not nervous in that sense, but just in terms of the unknown.
There's some clarity, right? Yeah. Where are we headed? Especially, I think, Joe, for you and I, and you and I have talked about this a lot, right, is that, you know, we've taken seriously the role that God has given us as fathers. And so we are concerned for our children and what kind of church they're going to have and what kind of church they're going to, that they're going to be part of, right? So I think, I'm not the best person in terms of church history and things like that. My brother Brian could certainly go through and tell you all the times that we've had schisms and different things going on in the church, right? That have resulted in almost, the church has been fractured, right? You have your Byzantine and your Orthodox, and so course you have the Protestant Reformation. So Brian could talk to you a lot more about that than I could. What I will say is, you and I have had the privilege of being under Dermot's teaching more than once, and I think Dermot thinks that they're, and I don't want to speak for him, he's not here right now, but I think he there's some concern. There's good, godly clergymen that think that, hey, there's reason to be concerned. But I think the good news is that our faith is built on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His word. And as long as we just always have, and tradition of the church always has, if you read Augustine and Ignatius Loyola and St. Thomas More, they've always lined up with the word of God. The teaching of the church and the word of God have always lined up together. In fact, it's the church that has given us the word of God, right? Yep. Closed the canon and given us the word of God. So I think no matter what we're going through, if we keep our eyes on the word of God and church teaching for 2,000 years, we'll have that clarity that we so desire. It's funny, Joe, I don't know if this was said in your house. I imagine it was said in a lot of big families, of big Irish Catholic families, but growing up, we didn't have cell phones, right? We had phones on the wall in the kitchen, right, or wherever.
One phone.
And you're sitting down to dinner, the phone would always ring, right? And, of course, my sister's, oh, Daddy, it's my boyfriend, or this, whatever, wanting to answer the phone. And my dad would say the famous, I don't care if it's the Pope on the phone. We're not answering that phone.
Amen.
Family comes first, right? And I think that he was teaching us a lesson, really, is that, our church is based on Jesus Christ, right? The Pope is the vicar of Christ. He's supposed to be leading and doing the bidding of Christ, right? And but he's not Christ. Mm. And our church is based on Christ. And I think my dad was kind of teaching us a little something is, hey,
sure,
I don't care if the Pope's on the phone. This family's eating dinner together, right? And so that always stuck with me. And
that's a great lesson.
Of course, I have tremendous respect for the papacy and for the clergy and for our beautiful nuns. My gosh, Joe, what beautiful nun, different orders out there, the Sisters of Life. And, we're so blessed.
Amen.
Let
me ask you this, Sean.
Yep.
And just not to belabor that point, but what do you, catechism, proper catech, being catechized, the proper way. And my analogy, I was with Mark Al a couple weeks ago. And my analogy is you have the Baltimore Catechism. What was that? I don't even know, 64, 65?
Yeah, probably.
Around there. I think it was before we were born. Mm-hmm. And then, it just seems like proper, catechism. Like, what is it? I mean, I look at a lot of us, the ignorance, we don't even know what is proper catechism.
Yes.
And, my analogy is, when you throw the rock in the water, the first circle is very pronounced.
Yep.
Then the next circle is less pronounced, and then and it keeps becoming more faint and more faint. And the thing I want to ask you is, what do you tell the listeners when clerical opinion differs from moral theology. Mm. Like what, and you know, to me, I always felt that, you know, you certainly have the liberty to do that, because to your point, you know, there's only one, you know, Godhead. You know what I mean? There's anybody on earth, like, you know, even in the, at the highest level, there's
still a
flawed,
man.
Yeah, it's still a man. There's still a sinful component there. Mm-hmm. But what when moral theology is differing from public or clerical opinion, how do you kind of ingest that? How do you drill down on that?
It's a really good question, Joe. And you know, one thing I just want to go back to real quick is you mentioned the catechism, and I think that, you know, there's been a big gap in the church, probably since Vatican II, when we've really have really taken the catechism. It's there's a catechism, you can go buy it today,
yeah.
But it's not being taught the way it was when our parents were growing up, right?
Sure.
And you know, I remember my mom and dad telling, the first thing they learned is, why were you created? I was created to know, love, and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what a basic, beautiful thing to teach a little first grader.
Sure.
You know? And we've kind of gotten away from that, and we need to get back to that, I think. But you know, in terms of when it appears that, you know, papal or bishops or cardinals teaching maybe is opposed to what moral law has taught us for years, right? For 2,000 years of the church. I think you can get, and Brian talks about this a lot, my brother Brian, but I think you can get really
jammed up
and really frustrated, right? And Brian, you know, I think, and my brother Dan too, both kind of really, you know, they had that education.
Yeah, they're deep thinkers.
And deep thinkers. And I think, you know, both of them kind of say, hey, you know, they can say all that. Somebody, a pope or a bishop, can say all they want. That doesn't make, you know, that's their opinion, right?
But there's a danger in that.
There's a danger in that
because it's being ingested as truth.
Your average Catholic doesn't understand mm-hmm. that just because the Pope says something doesn't mean, you know, we don't. It's very rarely that the Pope will speak in ex cathedra, right?
Sure.
Which is from the seat of Peter, and that's on dogma and things like that. And that hasn't changed. And nothing today has changed
no doubt.
Any doctrine or teaching of the church. And I think there's a beauty in that, you know, that you know, as bad as sometimes we think things are and we look and we say, well, how could this be, how could he have said, you know, Pope Francis have said this, or how could this bishop have said that, or how could, you know, and we get frustrated. I think the beauty is that, you know, nothing has changed in the teaching of the church.
Amen.
And, you know, it's part of our, as men, and as evangelizing, Joe, we need to remind people that as we're out in the, because we run in Catholic circles, but let's be honest, we have a lot of lapsed Catholics
sure.
and people that are, or maybe even people that are trying to walk the walk, but they just don't know.
No doubt.
They haven't been educated. They don't know. And we need to let them know that, hey, you know, part of preaching the good news is, hey, you see things happening and it's disturbing you, and rightfully so. It's disturbing you because it doesn't sound line up
no
with
doubt.
The tradition and the teaching of the church and with the scripture. So it's a good thing it's disturbing you. But listen, church teaching hasn't changed.
No.
You can be rest assured that the church is still
Amen.
Solid as a rock, right?
Mark Deano said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he might have said it, but he said, I love the product, but sometimes the customer service stinks.
it was a few weeks ago, Mark, so that was great.
What a great line.
Yeah.
I want to go back for just a second. And, you know, we talked about grace, right? Because, I mean, gosh, the daily graces we get that we're not even aware of, you know. And, you know, the sacramental grace of confession, you know, like, and this really didn't hit me till like, probably like 2 months ago. I'm embarrassed to say this, but, you know, I wasn't, it hasn't been, if I look at myself and I take inventory, it hasn't been as important as it should be.
Mm.
But I haven't practiced what I preach, because I talk about, you know, the grace that you get for, you know, going to adoration and then obviously church, you know, and kind of just not doing bare minimums, you know, kind of make it really invest in your faith
mm-hmm.
in whatever of those 15 different beautiful, you know,
opportunities right, sure.
to kind of communicate with your creator. But I was thinking to myself, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, like the sacramental grace you get from confession, if you look at the seven sacraments, it's the only one that's repetitive.
Yep.
You know, like, I mean, you know, hopefully we're in matrimony one time, you know, hopefully, you know, when the time comes, you know, anointing of the sick, you know, right. might happen based on where you are right. at the end of the
baptized
chain.
Baptized yeah. ones, confirmed ones. Yeah. Right.
So it's like, you know, and then I'm looking at myself and I got flushed with embarrassment and I'm like, how I can't embrace that as often as possible. And Anne McGlone, just our beautiful host, the hour preceding mine, she talked about, you know, and I just overheard her. I was kind of half listening as we were walking into the building here. But she talked about, you know, confession serving as an opportunity to unclog the drain. Mm. And what a great visual that is, right? I mean, you just feel yeah. like you have clutter, right? You know, and more than like, I just feel like, you know, more than you going and kind of, you know, whether it's, you know, mortal or venial, you know, hopefully there's not a ton weighing you down in terms of your sinful life. But, you know, just an opportunity to receive the sacramental mm-hmm. grace that you get from that experience and to be able to do that weekly, you know, monthly. Like, and I look back and I feel like I've been short-sighted with that. You know, because it's the only one of the sacraments. We know that there's something significant about sacramental grace.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, for so many years, most of my adult life, you know, it was twice a year. You know, it was
right.
kind of just
you made your Easter duty
yeah.
or whatever, right?
You know, I felt good about mm-hmm. coming out of it. But that's just for whatever reason, that's been resonating with
yeah.
me. And I look back on the opportunities that I missed with that. And,
yeah. It's a beautiful sacrament, and one I avail myself to a lot, A, because I'm very much in need of it.
No doubt.
And B, but Joe, you know, think about something. You were a ball player and played at a really good Division III school. You know, you coached at a very high level. You know, I was a fighter. I fought at a pretty high level.
Absolutely.
Got to, you know, fought some of the best fighters in the world. And, you know, both of us will take, in fact, we probably both of us in our chosen fields look more at the mistakes that we made than the great things that we were doing,
sure.
right? You could look at film and look at all the good things you're doing, great. But you wanted to know the mistakes that you made. Same thing with me. I wanted to know why I keep getting called with that right hand.
Sure.
Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And, you know, why am I running out of gas? What am I doing in my preparation, right? So, you know, as an athlete, it's very easy for us to look at our faults, our weaknesses, the things that we need to improve on. But for some reason, when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't always translate that. And, you know, for guys, maybe that's a way that analogy can maybe help us get back to the sacrament if we're away from it, right? That analogy of, you know, you're taking an inventory of what you're doing as a, in your case, it was a football player. In my case, it was a fighter. Now we're taking inventory of what kind of fathers are we?
No,
what kind of husbands are we?
And more, and even more than that, Sean, I look at like the countless things that this being involved in this group has given me, but the preparation. You know, you're preparing your
yes.
body to do certain things. You're preparing your mind to do certain things. You know, it's, you know, the message I try and send to my children, right? Hey, dude, you know, yeah, you got to get your mind right for school and you got to take care of your body for, you know, for sports. But like, you got to nurture and you got to prepare your soul. Mm. And there's days, we've talked about it at length, like there's days where you feel so dialed into your relationship with Christ that like you palpably feel his presence.
Walking. Yeah, for absolutely.
You know, and then there's days, months, you know, where you just feel like, I know it's like, hey, you don't feel like going to work out, but you have to do it.
Right.
Because it's part of the lifestyle that you're leading and living. And it's the same thing with your prayer life. You know, there's times, you know, with my prayer life and, you know, where I tried to, in the last year, as I've heard the influences from a lot of men that we know, you know, starting out the day in prayer, you know, the importance of that. And finding myself when I don't start out the day in prayer, something's just a little off.
Yep.
You know, I'm more irritable. I'm less patient. You know, I'm more reactive to crisis when they happen. But when I'm able to just kind of start and just center myself with prayer when I get up, you know, and you look at Sean, you know, and Brian,
they have that built into their habits.
And it is. It's what do they say? You know, the experts say it takes 21 days to form a habit,
right.
but the need to nurture that aspect, you know, the athlete, you know, with Jerry Rice, Tiger Woods, whomever, like, you know, everyone sees, you know, the great player make the shot that wins the game. You know, nobody saw Kobe in the darkness getting up at 4 a.m. running 7 miles. And then staying, you know, making 100 foul shots before he left the building consecutive. And sometimes that taking hours upon hours. But, like, you know, it's the same concept for your prayer life and your spiritual life.
Absolutely.
It's just you have to – if you want to reach a certain level and attain – the highest possible relationship you can, you know, with Christ, the routine and the rote, the preparedness of it.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And then I think there's even another component, Joe, that's hard for us as men, maybe sometimes, but that we can't control everything. Mm. So there isn't, there is absolutely, I don't know who the great saint was that said, you know, do everything as if, it depended on pray as if everything depended on God, but work as if everything depended on you, right?
Mm.
So you know, at the end of the day, yeah, we have to prepare. And I think there's good habits that you build as a Christian man or woman. Prayer in the morning, I think, is essential, right? Sacraments is important. You know, adoration, rosary. I think both of us, you and I, have really, it's been such a gift to us in the past, and probably, at least for me, probably in the past 6 months.
No doubt.
I didn't realize what a gift it was in the church. I've said my rosary now and again, but nothing like it is now.
The
when
daily
I pray.
Routine of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And but at the end of the day, and I think that's the beauty of why our faith is so much different than any other faith out there. But at the end of the day, we have a merciful God who loves us, who will stoop in and pick us up when we're weak and broken, right? And that's hard for guys sometimes because we want to dot all our I's, cross our T's.
You want to be the knight in shining armor, too.
We want to, exactly, right? But, you know, but his mercy, right? His door's forever. And think about it. He went to the cross. You know, I wrote this down, and I'm just going to share it real quick.
Awesome.
Today at Mass, the gospel was Romans 10, and not the gospel, I'm sorry, the first reading was Romans 10, 9 to 18. And it says, if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. But how can a man call upon him that he has never heard? How are they to know him, if not for a preacher? How beautiful is the feet who preach good news, right? And that's really what we're all about at Old School, right? Really, at the end of it, we're all a bunch of men who we call. Sometimes we'll laugh, and Mr. Moore laughs us because we call ourselves broken men sometimes. But we're flawed, you know. We're flawed, broken men. It's sometimes very strong, stubborn men. And sometimes it's part of our brokenness, actually.
No doubt.
Right? And, but at the end of the day, that those men, all of us, 25, 30 guys coming together, and I think at the end of the day, our desire is to share the good news because we were broken, we were lost, and God came out and snatched us from the fires of hell.
Amen.
Right? And we've even talked, Joe, haven't we? We said, hey, you know, we're going to go through a series in the next few weeks or months where we're just going to get up and do testimonials. Because I want to understand what where Joe Traynor was and how God got a hold of him and why he is who the man he is today, what God's doing in his life.
I tell my kids, Sean, and I know we're wrapping up here in the next minute, but, you know, and I say this often to my kids. I said, hey, listen, I fail Mom every day. I fail you as your father every day. Like, the only unfailing, unconditional love out there is the love that God has for us.
Yep.
And, like, that has gotten me through, you know, and I know it's gotten you through, like, the darkness of those days where you just feel like you're defeated. And Amen. Then, you know, the relationship sustains you.
And as Coach Moore says all the time, it's good news.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
No doubt.
That God loves us so much that he came for us, right?
It's not a complicated formula.
We need to be out sharing the good news. It's
Absolutely.
Good news, right?
Love you, brother.
Yeah, love
this
you,
has
bro.
Been a great hour, and look forward to working with you. Folks, thanks for listening for the last hour, and I want to thank all the old school men of faith for not calling in and embarrassing us tonight. I love you guys, too.
All right,
have a
thanks.
Great week, guys.
Bye now.